Blog Talk Radio.
Black News Network, BNN, Stuart Scott with SportsCenter, CNN meets Urban America. How y'all doing this morning? I'm doing all right. Moving slow, but moving. Hey, I'm moving. I'm here. That's a blessing in itself. I hope you guys are enjoying your morning so far, this early Wednesday morning, hump day, as we call it. Getting over the hump, moving into the middle of the week, and I guess just blessed to be here. That's about the size of it for me. No more, no less. Today's show, we got some pretty hot topics. First off the list, love and hip-hop. I'm not sure if everybody's familiar with that. I know if you're not familiar with it, you probably have heard of Love and Hip-Hop, which is a reality TV series that comes on VH1 on cable network. Mona Scott King is the producer and the brains behind the whole shenanigans of Love and Hip Hop. And I don't say shenanigans in a bad way. I'm just saying shenanigans. It's just an explanatory term for the reality show. Some people have, you know, their own decisions and perspectives on reality TV. Me, myself, I'm kind of quite entertained with reality TV. I don't have a problem with it. It's entertainment. Some people find it to be disturbing. Some people, you know, find it not to be entertaining. I choose to find it to be entertaining. That's okay. I will put out there, as I always do, in this hour of the DLR's Jewel Hour, that this is an open perspective platform. I'm going to share my perspective openly with you, and I open the platform for you to share your perspective openly. It's not a dictatorship or some kind of bash series. That's not what this is. This is just an open platform to discuss our perspectives openly and have good discussion and dialogue. That's all it's about. Good conversation, man. Good times and good people. That's what it's all about. So if you have something you want to chime in on one of the topics I'm chopping it up about, the number is 718-664-9983. Call in. I'm here running my mouth. But I get into Love and Hip Hop. Love and Hip Hop has actually been on TV now for, I think, 5 years, if I'm not mistaken. It's three different series in three different cities. You have a Love and Hip Hop in New York, which started in with Jim Jones and his girlfriend at the time, and some other people. It kind of started out based around them, Chrissy, Jim Jones and Chrissy's girlfriend, and longtime fiance, and it started there. It has evolved to Atlanta and now in L.A., recently, the news has hit the airwaves that Love and Hip Hop are actually looking to move the show to other cities, bigger cities, to kind of change up the vibe. And from what I'm hearing over the last couple of years or so, they're kind of losing the steam behind the show. So they're trying to find a way to revitalize the hype of Love and Hip Hop. So they're moving. Now, the interesting part is the two cities they're going to. These are big cities. Big names can be found in these cities. And it's a little more ratchetness, I guess, would be there, too, if that's not a bad thing to say. I mean, ratchet is not always bad. It depends on what your perspective is. And these two cities are Miami and Houston. They're thinking about taking Love and Hip Hop to Miami and Houston. Now, actually, the producers are already in auditioning cast members in both cities. So if they have their way, they should have the cast nailed down by April, they're saying. And by the summer, we'll have these new series of Love and Hip Hop in Miami and Houston. Sounds good to me. Hey, like I said, I'm entertained by Love and Hip Hop, so it doesn't bother me that much. I know some people don't find the reality to be, you know, a popular thing for them as far as entertainment and TV, but I don't have a problem with it, watching entertainment. Entertainment is entertainment for me. Everybody has their own choices and decisions they choose to make, and I may not agree with all of them, but if I'm entertained, I can watch it. And some things I'm going to do you ain't going to like, and I get that, but that don't stop me from doing what I choose that's best for me. So that's just my take on it. That's my take on it. I mean, I'm not going to condemn or condone Love and Hip Hop. I'm just going to say, I don't have a problem with it. But moving into what I'm getting into with the whole Love and Hip Hop thing, they're moving to Miami and Houston, and they're trying to get the show back up and running and get things kind of going. They haven't really named any cast members at this point in time, but they are casting, and they're saying it's a few big names in the mix. But they're also trying to get lesser name people tied into each city's nightlife. So it should be a good spin. I think it should be a good thing. I think Miami, as we know, is a very popular place, and hip-hop, for the most part, is just thriving. Houston has this for years, it has been an underground kind of movement in hip-hop, but Houston is pretty big, and it's a big, big, big city in its own. So that's a good thing, too. And to get some more, you know, I don't know, limelight on the city of Houston, because a lot of people don't know Houston has they put a big dent in the whole hip-hop scene. We don't talk about it a lot. You have Scarface out from that area. You have the boys. I know when I was in Louisiana, when I was stationed in Louisiana at Fort Polk, We used to listen to Chopped and Screwed music all the time, which originated out there with DJ Screw out there in Houston, Texas. So, hey, big ups to them boys. I remember back in those days when we used to listen to everything Screwed and Chopped and Slowed Down. It was crazy back then, but it was good times. It was good times. But my take on the whole love and hip-hop thing is this. Hey, if you don't choose to watch it, don't watch it. But those that do find it entertaining, it's what it is. It's TV, and TV is... TV shows are meant to entertain those that are watching. So I don't see what's the big deal with it. I mean, if you don't like ratchetness, don't watch ratchetness. If you like ratchetness, watch it. Some people may not even see it to be ratchetness. They may see it as their lifestyle. So I can't condemn one person for a group of people for choosing to do and live the way they want to. That's their choice. Me personally, I'm quite interested in seeing Miami and Houston spinoffs of Love and Hip Hop. Just to change up the scenery a little bit. And also, I mean, I'm nosy. I mean, there ain't no sense to be around the bush. I'm nosy. I also want to see how other people do things, especially those that, you know, intrigues us as, from the standpoint of hip-hop and celebrities. You always want to see an insight into others' lives and what they have going on and things they're doing. So I don't see a problem with it. I know some people may say, man, really, why would you bring that topic up while we're talking about this? You watch that? Listen, I do, and... and partake in the things that excite me. I mean, there's some things that others partake and do that may not excite me, but I'm not going to condemn them for doing that. I'm not saying I condone some of the behavior on Love and Hip Hop. I'm not saying I condemn all of the behavior on Love and Hip Hop. All I'm saying is it's entertaining. And for the premise of a show to be on TV and for us to engage in, it's for entertainment purposes. So I think it's totally meeting the platform and should the qualifications for the platform is on. That's just my point, period. If you know what I mean, like I said, if you have a perspective or insight or something you want to share on this topic, by all means, call in. You may disagree with me. I have no problem with that. I'm here not totally to agree with everyone. I know that's not going to happen, but we can agree to disagree. That's fine, too. The number is 718-664-9983. Call in. Let me know what you think about that. On the whole topic of love and hip-hop and hip-hop music and hip-hop and music and the whole genre and what's going on, I seen a video recently. Me and my homeboys were sitting down watching the video. And it's funny, too, because we kind of got busted because one of my homeboys, we were watching it in his cave. And his wife came in to tell him something. We were watching this video. And it's not a bad video, but it is pretty sexual in tone and provocative. So his wife walked in and we all kind of sat there stone faced and kind of like, oh boy, you know what I mean? But she was cool with it because she was like, yeah, that's my girl and things. So it kind of worked out for the best. We was nervous at first. I'll be totally honest with you. Me and my other homeboy was nervous for him and for ourselves because we didn't know how it was going down, but it worked out for the best. But anyway, the video I'm talking about and the song I'm talking about is Work by Rihanna and Drake. It's a very interesting video. It very much is. I think it was well done. I think as far as drawing the listener and the viewer in, it totally reaches that platform and defines what it's trying to do. I also think that it's a good song. I mean, I like it. I kind of like it. At first, I didn't like it when I heard it on the radio. And this is the thing about TV and entertainment. Sometimes you can see a video and it changes your aspect and draws you more into the song now that you kind of see how it plays out. So I thought that. I also thought the chemistry between Drake and Rihanna in the video was almost too real. I can't say it was too real. It just was real. It was just what it was. So we kind of passed the question around between all of us. You think they dating? And we was kind of like, yeah, if they ain't, they is now kind of thing. So it was good. I mean, it drawed us in. My whole point was, it's one line in the song where Drake says, pretty much, if you had a twin, I'd still choose you. And I thought that was like one of the coldest lines I've ever heard. You know what I mean? Like, if you were a twin, I'd still choose you. Think about that. That's kind of tight. You know what I mean? So big ups to Drake and Rihanna for the Work video. I thought that was good. I thought that was exciting. It might be a little ratchetness in it, too, if ratchetness is something you don't like, I wouldn't advise you to watch the video. And then if ratchetness is something that you are accustomed to and you're okay with, watch the video. Once again, it's up to perspective. I'm not trying to force anything on you. I'm just putting it out. I'm just letting you know what's up and what's going down before you move into it. But check it out. So with that being said, Love and Hip Hop is moving to Miami and Houston, trying to get spinoffs there in the franchise of the reality series Love and Hip Hop. Big ups to Mona Scott Key. She found something. She's found a niche and she's doing real well with it. And I'm totally behind it. I support anybody who's doing something that, you know, is productive and is putting something out there, and they're getting it done. Big ups for that. And big ups to Rihanna and Drake for Work video. With that, we're going to some sounds, and I'll be back with you in a minute. We'll come back, and we'll talk about Stephen Curry and Under Armour. And I'm going to break down the Prodigal Son later, something that's near and dear to me. And before the show is up, we'll talk about some local stuff, some hometown stuff. Southeast High School has named a new football coach. We'll get into that as well. Until then, though, I'm going to let you listen to these sounds, and we'll be back. I'll be back in a minute. Ain't no we, it's just me. I'll be back in a minute, so check this out.
amazing girls. Weren't they just lovely? Wow, so much talent here at Sunnydale. Up next, we have a little dedication here. This performance is dedicated to all the player-hating teachers that won't let a little gangster shine. I don't know what that means. Ladies and gentlemen, please give it up for Uptown Special.
Y'all sticking with me. I had some technical difficulties right there, and so I had to kind of ad lib and do little things, move around the dashboard, make it happen, but I'm back. So, innovative, you know, try to make things do what it do sometimes. But things happen. This is live radio. What you expect, man? And everything ain't perfect. Sometimes, you know, it goes left, but I'm back. And we're moving to our second topic. The second topic of the day is Stephen Curry and Under Armour. Stephen Curry has recently signed a big contract with Under Armour for shoes, which is crazy because, well, it's not crazy. It's just different. I say this a lot. When I say crazy, me and my friends, we have this thing that when we say crazy, it's not crazy. It's actually, that's understanding. It's one of those moments of the light bulb moments when you say, oh, that's crazy. No, it's actually you understand something, but now you understand it from a different perspective. So it's not really crazy. It's just a point I'm going to throw out there. Stephen Curry and Under Armour, he has a new sneaker with Under Armour. He actually signed a deal with them in 2015, a big $15 million deal with Under Armour. And his shoes are actually, check this out now, projected to sell $160 million in the year of, in 2016. Compared to, check it out now. I mean, this is real stuff. I'm reading statistics here. From a legitimate source, LeBron James with Nike, you know, Nike, the coveted Nike, the big dog of shoes for the last years or so, or since Michael Jordan took on, well, however you want to look at it, Nike, is projected to sell 150 million. So at this point in time, Stephen Curry's shoe is projected to outsell Under Armour shoe. Listen to what I'm saying. Is projected to outsell LeBron James' Nike shoe by $10 million by the end of the year. Wow. I don't know if it has anything to do with Stephen Curry's popularity or his gameplay or if it's just the fact that, you know, his shoe is better. I don't know. It's amazing to see it, though, because it's like one of those things, and Nike pretty much dominates when it comes to shoe sales. I will put this in there, though. I have to point this out because this is significant as well. Even though Stephen Curry is projected to sell 160 million shoes by the end of 2016, 10 million more than LeBron James. Kevin Durant is in third with 82 million. Kyrie Irving is in fourth with 51 million. And Kobe Bryant is in fifth with 18 million, which is a lot. I mean, all these are significant numbers to sell that kind of merchandise, period. But the fact that Stephen Curry is selling so much with a shoe that is not really popular is amazing. But on the backside of that, the point I was getting to is this. Michael Jordan, Nike shoe, Jordan line, counts for 90, listen to what I'm saying, 90% of the revenue of tennis shoes sold in America every year. Did you hear what I just said? 90% of shoe sales goes to, not Nike, I said Michael Jordan shoe line with Nike. That's amazing. That's amazing. Now, Stephen Curry is projected to be the highest seller on shoes alone coming up this year, but the percentage of shoe sales in America is 90% Jordans. Did you hear what I just said? 90%. The other 10% is just, you know, spread it out however it may be. 90% is Jordan. Did you hear what I just said? That is crazy. I know I keep repeating myself, but I guess there I go saying crazy again. That's understanding. But I know I'm repeating myself, but that is an amazing stat. I mean, but big ups to Stephen Curry. We're not going to take this to make this a Jordan thing, because I will. I will. I'm going to make it a Jordan thing. This is about Stephen Curry, and that's who we're talking about. At this point in time, Stephen Curry is projected to have the highest sales in tennis shoes, which is amazing because he's actually wearing Under Armour tennis shoes. I mean, I didn't even know Under Armour had a shoe. I'm going to be honest with you until I came across this stat. For me, when I was growing up, it was probably about four or five shoe lines. And if you didn't wear those shoes, you had on Bobos. That's how it was when we were growing up. It was Nike, Reebok, Adidas, and you had Fila. I know a lot of people might not know about Fila or Fila now. But that was it. And then Fila kind of died out. And then Adidas stayed around. And Nike, of course, went anywhere. And Reebok. Reebok is not as prevalent as they used to be. Now you have, it was a lot of shoes out back then. You had New Balance. You had Sconeys. You had all these other shoes. But they wasn't as prevalent as Reebok, Adidas. And for the most part, I would say Fila. But, I mean, come on, let's be real. This man, Stephen Curry, is really just taking over the NBA. I made this statement the other day, and I'm going to stick by it. At this point in time, for me, he is the most valuable player in the NFL, in the NBA. Let me say NFL, in the NBA. LeBron James is an excellent talent. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with someone saying LeBron may be better than Stephen Curry in their opinion. Like I said, the show is based on perspectives. It's an open platform. You'll hear a lot of mine because I'm the host, but it's an open platform. You can call in 718-664-9983 and share your perspective. I have no problem with that. Right now, I'm expressing mine. Stephen Curry, for me, if I was starting the team tomorrow, would be my pick over LeBron James. I know that sounds totally absurd coming from a guy who just maybe 2 or 3 years ago thought LeBron James had the potential, and still does. I mean, it's not like he's lost his potential. He still does have the potential to surpass Michael Jordan's platform. But I think the days and the time is running thin on that. I mean, now it gets to a point where you're like, okay, you had your chance. And Stephen Curry has came up to the plate. I mean, listen, I keep saying this. If anybody's listening to me, please understand this. The man is shooting six-pointers. Six-pointers. You get what I'm saying? If a man can shoot six-pointers like it's nothing, the dude is the greatest player right now playing the game. And he's not even playing the fourth quarter. And it's not like he's not playing the fourth quarter because he don't choose to. There's no need for him to play the fourth quarter. Do you hear what I'm saying? The man is playing three-quarters of the game and playing better than the people that's playing the whole game. Come on. Why wouldn't I pick him? Why wouldn't I take him? Why wouldn't you take him? But it's all about perspectives and choices. And some people are going to see it differently. Just like I was talking about Love and Hip Hop earlier. Some people see that as ratchetness. Some people don't want to watch it. Hey, I have no problem with it. TV is entertainment. You put a show on TV for entertainment. It entertains me. is feeding, is meeting its purpose for me. May not be for you, and that's fine. Don't watch it. It's still on TV. Come on. Let's be real. If it's entertainment and it's entertaining you, that's what it's there for. No other reason for it to be on TV if it's not entertaining. Ratchetness or not. I mean, some people may say I'm ratchet in the things I do. If it's what I choose to do, then I'm okay being ratchet. So if you're okay being ratchet, I'm okay being ratchet. If you're not okay being ratchet, don't be ratchet. I might be. What's the problem? Perspective. It's all about perspective. I mean, we can't condemn and condone and don't realize if you're going to do either or, that means at some point you're not going to do both. So you have to be fine with people being who they are. I'm fine with that. I'm fine with taking Stephon Curry, too, over LeBron James. You may not be. And I know diehard Cleveland fans and LeBron James fans probably take, you know, take that kind of personal. Because I would have took it personal if we were talking about Jordan. I get it. But I don't know if I really, honestly, if I'm so concerned with that as much as I'm concerned with what I like. And I think you're more concerned with what you like. So make the choices that you like for yourself. That's just me going off on a tangent. But back to the point and the topic that we're on, Stephon Curry is projected to sell 160 million shoes by the end of this year, being the number one seller with a shoe that pretty much 5 years ago was not even known. That is remarkable. LeBron James is in second with 150 million, which is a great feat too. I mean, that's not by any means a small feat, but the fact that Stephon Curry is taking a shoe that is Under Armour, a tennis shoe that really, honestly, 10, 15 years ago was not even thought of. I don't even think Under Armour as a merchandise or a merchant was even out 15 years ago. It just came on the scene. Stephon Curry is kind of building a brand. That's a beautiful thing. Big ups to Stephon Curry for that. And keep doing what you're doing, man. I like your game. I like your attitude. I like everything about you. I'm just going to be real. I'm a real ball player, and I know a ball player when I see a ball player. And he's a point guard, and he leads from the front. So that's what's up. We're going to get back into some sounds, and I'll be back with you to break down the prodigal son, something that's near and dear to me. And then we'll move into some hometown, some local stuff, and talk about Southeast High School's new football coach. Until then, check this out, and I'll be right back with you. This is my boy. I ain't going to tell you who it is. You tell me. Yeah. Circles, live my life without rehearsal. If I die today, my wicked, was it business, was it personal? Should this be my last breath? I'm blessed cause it was purposeful. Never got to search the worst of law, but please be merciful. You made me versatile, well-rounded like cursive. Know you chose me for a purpose, I put my soul in these verses. Born sinner, was never born to be perfect. Sucker for women, licking their lips and holding these purses. Back when we ran the streets, who would think we grow to be murderers? Teachers treated against as if they totally worthless and violent and hopeless. I saw but never noticed that a college point is right to be all that you can be posters. Rest in peace to Tiffany. I don't know if this the real of this shit I wrote, but know the realest wicked wrote this and signed it and sealed it in an envelope. And knew one day you find it, and knew one day you come back and rewind it. Sing it.
You to be whether you were there or not there.
A gift, but God help us make it, cause this music biz is a cliff. I got a life in my grip, she holding tight to my wrist, she screaming don't let me slip. She see the tears in my eyes, I see the fear on her lips. True when I told you, you the only reason why I don't flip and go insane, my roof in the pouring rain. You knew me before the fame, don't lose me the more I change. No, just grow with me, go broke, you go broke with me. I smoke, you gon' smoke with me. Woman's curse is birth, man lead her to the hearse. I go Bobby, you go with me, then. Listen here, I tell you my biggest fears. You the only one who knows them, don't you ever go expose them. This life is harder than you probably ever know. Emotions I hardly ever show. more for you than for me. Don't you worry yourself, I gotta do this for me. They tell me life is a test, but where's the tutor for me? Pops came late, I'm already stuck in my ways. Ducking calls from my mother for days. Sometimes she hate the way she raised me, but she loved what she raised. Can't wait to hand her these house keys with nothing to say.
I'm a ghost, but I'll die better than that.
That's what it is. I mean, let's be real. J. Cole, big ups to my boy J. Cole. That's one of my favorite gems right there. And I thought it was a great segue into where I'm going next. When we talk about the prodigal son, a lot of times the story has been interpreted quite a couple of different ways. For me, for the most part, I've always seen the story as a relatable story. And recently I realized that it's a very, very, very near and dear story to myself. The actual whole understanding of the prodigal son comes from a parable in the Bible, where a father has two sons, and at some point they become of age, and the father decides to split his wealth with the two sons. One son decides to stay with the father, and the other son decides to take his wealth and to go off into the world. And deciding to go off into the world, he swindles and loses all of his money and all of his wealth on worldly things, doing the things that we do as young men and young individuals. And at some point, he finds himself being a servant to someone else and realizes that his father had servants and that he's left home. And how did he become a servant when his father has his own servants? So he decides to go home reluctantly, thinking that he will not be welcome. And in the parable, as he's coming to the in view of coming home, his father sees him, and before he can come to his father runs to him and embraces him. And the son in that moment realized that home is where it is, that even with the things he's went through and how he forsaken and went against his father's wishes, his father still loved him. I think it's a great story, and I think the most profound part of it that's not talked about a lot of times is the part of the second brother. The second brother took offense to this, honestly, and I don't know if a lot of people know this. When you get deeper into the parable, the second brother actually went to the father and was like, why would we throw a party for him? You gave him everything, and he left, and I'm stayed by you the whole time. And the father pretty much replied to him like, you've always been with me. But we are celebrating the fact that your brother was lost and now he's found. To me, in that statement alone, it sums up the prodigal son. I've had my own adventures. I've had my own trials and tribulations. I've been around the world. I've seen a lot of things. I've seen some bad things. I've seen some highs. I've been involved in some very difficult and unattractive lows. But I will say this. Anytime I've ever needed to go home or wanted to go home, I could go home. And home has always embraced me. In my travels, in my understanding and professional stance and what I'm doing today, going home is like a refuge for me. It's an oasis. It's fulfilling. It's the place where I belong. It's the place where I come from. It's everything for me. It's my heart. It's my soul. It's my drive. I get up in the morning thinking about my home. I have a home of my own. I've established my own family. I have my kids. I have my wife. I have a beautiful life. But at the same time, I'm drawn to my home. And when I speak of my home, I'm speaking totally of Obonya. I'm a prodigal son. I am. I went off into the world. I went out. I swindled. I went through a lot of things. I lost a lot. And I say this a lot, and I mean this dearly. And I want you to take this. I know I'm on a serious tip now, but it is what it is. I've accomplished and I've had a lot of things in life. And all those things I accomplished and I had in life that I got by my own hands, I don't have them today. Everything that I accomplished and that I had that God genuinely gave to me has never left me. It's never left me. And Robonia was one of those things. God gave me Robonia. He put me in Robonia years and years ago. And I grew up there. Robonia raised me. Robonia made me the man I am. I went off into the world. I may have forgotten about Robonia at a time because I was doing me. I was out having fun, living it up, as we would say, quote unquote. And at some point, I hit rock bottom. It's not a beautiful thing, but in the side of understanding today, it was a blessing because it means more to me today to say to you that I'm a prodigal son than it does to say that I'm still lost in the world. So, I mean, on that take and understanding the prodigal son for what it means to me, it's personal. It's totally personal. But on the other side of that, on just the parable and understanding the power of forgiveness is a beautiful thing. Because the father, from the understanding, that was his child. And regardless of what his child did, regardless of where his child went, and regardless of how his child took his inheritance that he had worked his whole life to give to him, he still welcomed his child home. I think it speaks volume to us as individuals in situations. It doesn't even have to be your child. It can be somebody you're dealing with in on a personal or a business level, a professional level. And if that person, if you genuinely understand that you can make a mistake, why do we go so hard at other people for their mistakes? Forgiveness is one of the most genuine things we can give in life. And the truth of the matter is, if I don't forgive you today, tomorrow is coming, I'm probably going to need to be forgiven from you. So you have to understand you give and take what you put into each situation. As fathers and as a father myself and as a parent, it's one of the greatest joys in life. And I say this, and I actually have a quote of it in a book that I wrote with my son, that one of the greatest blessings in life is being a father. It really is. I learned so much as a father. I do. I really do. And the one thing that I do learn is that one day, if I ever have to be put in a situation where I have to welcome my son back or if I have to welcome my daughter back, you can have a prodigal daughter too. It just doesn't have to be the son. I mean, right, the parable was written from the male perspective, but it can be the female perspective as well. I'm going to welcome them home because somebody welcomed me home. And I still can go home to Robonia today and I'm welcome there just like I never left. And that's the beauty. That means I always have a sense of belonging. I always have a sense of knowing where I come from. That's a beautiful thing. That is the most powerful thing I have to say to anyone. We can run down the list of accolades and accomplishments I have, but the greatest accomplishment for me is to be able to go home and to sit in my neighborhood and just be at peace. That is beautiful. That is beautiful to me. I mean, everybody may not get that, but for me, that's my spin on the prodigal son. I think it's one of the best parables, one of the most profound parables that we can find because it's a story of forgiveness. It's much deeper than the drama and the play out of the son and the father. It's forgiveness. And I think we should find forgiveness to be more instrumental in the things we do instead of just thinking, you know, at the end of the day, I'm going to be bullheaded or I'm going to be stubborn and I'm going to stick to what I feel is right. Sometimes forgiveness will give you and the other person more peace than you ever realize. And at the end of the day, at some point in your life, you're going to need somebody to forgive you too. So just keep that in mind. I throw that out there. If you have, you know, an insight or something you want to share, like I said, it's all about perspectives, and I'm open to everybody's perspective. So if you have a perspective you want to share, I'm here. Send it in to me. We can chop it up, 718-664-9983. But I will say this. Hey, man, it ain't no better place for me in this world than Robonia, Florida. And that's just that. It's a couple of things that I'm crazy about. And yeah, you're going to get this. I'm on 5 days out of 7 days a week from 10 to 11 here with DLR's Jewel Hour, Black News Network, being in. Stuart Scott meets Sports Center. Stuart Scott with Sports Center. CNN meets Urban America. So you're going to hear my perspective a lot. So you're going to hear a lot of things that I'm crazy about. I can tell you right off the rip, two of them, and you probably already know, Love and Robonia. I'm crazy about them too. For me, they're kind of synonymous. Love and Robonia and God all go together for me. I mean, that's my home. That is my divine feeling, and that's also my moral compass. So it is what it is. Now, there's some other things I'm crazy about, but I ain't gonna share all that because this is one thing my mama told me a long time. Don't Don't tell all your business. So I ain't gonna tell everything today. You might get it over time, but I ain't gonna tell it all today. I'm at least listen to mama and do the right thing right now in this moment, okay? Because like I said, I come from Rebellion. And if you know anything about coming from Rebellion, they don't play out there. They do not play. They do not play. I mean, the Wolves, Battle Ross, well, the child ain't happening. It's not happening. Not in Rebellion. Not never Wasper. Anyway, they go to Rebellion coming out of me. I know it. They go to countryness and me talking. This is where I'm from. This is what I love. And I'm gonna be genuine to who I am. Yeah, I got a couple degrees. Yeah, I've done some things. Yeah, I'm a professional in another aspect, but I'm Derek. And being Derek, I'm going to be genuine to who I am. So sometimes I'm going to be country. Sometimes I'm going to be very proper. Sometimes I'm going to be all over the place. I'm human, and there's nothing wrong with that. The one thing I want to make sure that is shared on this platform, it's an open perspective one. It's an open platform for me to share my perspective openly. It's also an open platform for others. Their perspective openly. That was the whole point and the premise of doing this. And two, I'm going to be me. I'm going to be totally transparent in being me. I'm not going to sit here and try to be somebody else or do what sounds right or seems right. I'm just going to do what I feel. That's just me. The prodigal son has came home. I've came home and I'm doing what I want to do. And that's a beautiful feeling, man. I thank God every day for that. That's just a blessing, man, because I can tell you some stories that we ain't got enough time for. That will have your head spinning from where I've been and what I've seen. But I'm home now. I'm home now. And that's a beautiful thing for me. So inside of saying that, man, we'll get back into some sounds. And I'm going to play something that pretty much sums up the prodigal son for me. I hope you like it. If you don't, you know, hey, like I said, it's all about open perspectives. Everything ain't for everybody, but some for somebody.
Bling, 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 bling. Bling, 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 bling. Bling, 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 bling.
Who said good folks is not supposed to die? The same, that said, it's not supposed to cry. United States giving out milk and cheese to pacify. I'm sure they got a cure for AIDS, but yet it's classified. You wonder why I spit the truth and not to make no dough. To make a difference, both this motherfucking blow in pieces. I can think of many reasons. Only when it's going bad, you want to holler Jesus. I pledge allegiance, they got my knuckles bleeding from crawling. Got these thinking they really brawling when they isn't. Don't take my word, it's off in prison. That will tell you that's locked up for a long time and won't sell you no flex. So congregation, will you turn your text to the book about cast? Chapter 2, verse 1, the first one that feel me. Jump up and make a joyful noise, you've outcast it. Meaning, now you have a choice like that.
I get into the groove, man. Like I said, I was talking about the prodigal son. In due time, I thought it was a good way to sum that up. It is what it is. Hey, we all fall down, but the thing about it is getting back up and doing it over again. And that's what it's all about, man. That's what it's all about out here. It's real in the field, but if you can stand it, you can do it. With that, we're going to the last topic of the day, which is a local topic, which is something I'm excited about sharing with you guys. Braden Southeast High School, one of the local high schools around town, which back in the mid-90s, early 80s, late 90s and early 2000s was a pretty dominant football school around the county, has recently had its ups and downs after Coach Meckley retired a couple of years ago and hasn't really seen the dominance it had years ago. So recently, Southeast was on the hunt for a new coach, and they've hired a new coach. It made the announcement that they've hired a new coach, and it actually happens to be a local. Someone is actually a graduate, alma mater of Southeast High School, former quarterback, starting quarterback at the school, Rashard West. I thought it was a great hire. Me personally, I don't have a lot of input on these kind of things because I'm not really involved in sports like I used to be when I was younger. But I'm still an avid fan of high school sports and football and basketball. So when I seen the headline in Tempo News, which is done by Mr. Johnny Hunter out of Sarasota, another great entrepreneur of mine, black African-American man who's made business and did that black, i.e. Black Wall Street thing, put it in motion and went out and did what he wanted to do. He published this story on Rashard West, named the new head coach of Southeast High School. Rashard actually graduated from Missouri State, has a master's degree from University of Phoenix. He's coached at a couple colleges, also coached on the high school level. He recently was coaching at Fort Lauderdale. He coached at Webster International. So, I mean, he has a great resume. He has he's built a great resume. And on the tip of me talking about the prodigal son, he's came back home and he's been welcomed home to coach his alma mater. And I think that's a great thing. I think it's a great look. Rashard is a 97 grad. I graduated in 96, so he's a year behind me. But my homeboys, all of them graduated in 97. Rashard was with us when we used to go to the boys club back in the day. So we interchanged and hung out together at times. I wouldn't say close friends, but we know each other on a personal level. But anytime someone's from the area or someone just in a position where they're doing better for themselves, I think we should promote that and be a part of it. So I'm definitely down for Rashard being the head coach at Southeast. I wish him much success. I'm going to support him and his movement. I'm a Palmetto Tiger by heart. I graduated from Palmetto High, but anytime somebody's doing good and we are all in the same community, we should support each other. I think that's the fundamental part. And when I say fundamental, and I know I just broke it down and said fundamental, but I mean fundamental part of us achieving and getting to where we're trying to go as a culture. And this is Black News Network, so I'm talking to the Black culture. I'm talking to my people. I'm talking to the people that I'm around, the people that I do business with, and the people outside of that that I wish to do business with. For us to get to that level, to be able to be on that platform, to do big things, we have to come together as one unit and work together and support each other. It's very imperative that we support each other. You're not going to get anywhere trying to do it by yourself. Remember, I broke down crabs in a bucket yesterday, crabs in a barrel yesterday. So you get that whole concept and understand if we all in this bucket together, that means we all equal. It just means one of us may have more willpower to get out, but I'm not trying to get out to leave you. I'm really trying to get out so I can take you with me. And don't pull me down, because we're going to do this together. Big ups to Rashard. Big ups to Southeast High School for even taking a chance on Rashard. I think that's a good look. I think it's a good look. Some people may not agree, and I'm okay with that too as well. But from my standpoint, I'm going to support him. If I didn't know him, if I did not know him or knowing him doesn't change me supporting him being hired as the coach. I think his resume alone speaks for itself. Him coming back to where he graduated and where he grew up at, it speaks volume, because he don't have to be here. As I said, the guy coached at Webster College, he coached in Lebanon, he coached at Tennessee. These are universities he's been at. He went to the playoffs a couple of times in Fort Lauderdale. So he has a resume that says he didn't have to come back home to coach. That was something he chose to do, i.e. the prodigal son. Coming back home is a blessing, and being accepted at home is a bigger blessing. That's a beautiful thing. With that, man, I'll see you guys tomorrow, man. Be easy out there. Lock your doors, blow up your hearts to the Lord. It's hard, but it's fair. One love, JWJ. Dad out.
Now tuned into the greatest. Turn the music up in the headphones. Tim, you can go and brush your shoulder off. I got you. Yeah. Feeling like a pimp. Brush your shoulders off. Ladies and pimps too, go on, brush your shoulders off. Crazy baby, don't forget that boy told you, kid. Turn up your shoulders. I'm probably over to y'all. Probably be locked by the force. Trying to hustle some things that go with the Porsche. Feeling no remorse. Feeling like my hand was false. Middle finger to the grip of my breath. The ladies, they love me. From the bleachers, they screaming. All the ballers is bouncing. They like the way I be leaning. All the rappers be hating. Off the track that I'm making.
No one could do it better. I check cheddar like a food inspector. My home I do to protect this. Statue actors like movie directors. This ain't a movie, dawg.